At A&M, and he'll be next up making a presentation on system science and systems thinking. Ken? We can take questions at the end, I think, yeah.
I used to have to apologize for taking my glasses off because I didn't use bifocals. And I finally got to bifocals, and now I can see the audience and my paper at the same time. It's quite a change of pace. I want to thank Tom Valenti, Larry Green, Janine Harris for allowing me to serve with them on this panel, Systems Thinking. I'm really honored to be part of the distinguished group, and I look forward to continuing discussions on the use of system thinking and systems models in health promotion, disease prevention, and the broader field of public health. Unlike Tom, I'll warn you, I'm going to talk conceptually. I'm not going to refer to a specific project. And what I'm going to attempt to do as we go through the next few minutes is to try to link our current interest in social ecology as a framework for thinking about public health and health promotion, and link it back to some basic systems ideas. And I will also be spending a little bit of time trying to bring in a broader theme that's occurring, and that is an increasing emphasis on the idea of translation, transdisciplinary, interdisciplinary models. So bear with me for a moment. Like at least some of you, I'm really a relative novice to systems thinking, even though I've been interested in it since beginning my career in public health a lot of years ago. For example, when I was a doctoral student in public health at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, one of the opportunities I had as I was finishing my doctoral training is to have a seminar in social epidemiology that focused on trying to use Uri Bronfenbrenner's model of social ecology and applying that to addressing some of the problems we were dealing with in social epidemiology at that time. Particularly, we decided after spending a semester learning Uri's work, is we spent a semester then writing up a paper trying to apply it to understanding type A behavior. And in the process of going through that doctoral seminar 30 years ago, I was really impressed with the level of Bronfenbrenner's thinking about systems models because I found it to be a refreshing departure from what I had been exposed to in graduate school, which is an almost exclusive emphasis on individual behaviors, but without much concern about the broader social environment that developed and sustained those behaviors. As many of you know, Bronfenbrenner focused on the trajectory or individual's history, which he referred to, by the way, as ontogenic development. He focused on that and its relationship to human development, as well as the various levels in which individuals' histories are embedded. The microsystems, our family, and face-to-face contacts that really create our sense of individual history. The mesosystem of social networks and settings that Tom has just talked about in some part. Such as neighborhoods, schools, and networks. The broader exosystem, which influences individuals' behaviors, but with which they do not interact. And the broader macro system of cultural values and belief systems that we frequently talk about. Partly as a result of this initial exposure to Bronfenbrenner's ecological perspective, and partly the result of ongoing conversations with a number of colleagues at North Carolina and elsewhere, we attempted to adopt Bronfenbrenner's and adapt Bronfenbrenner's ideas about levels of analysis in embedded systems as a way of framing an approach to health promotion and disease prevention. We reframed Bronfenbrenner's levels of analysis to include intra and interpersonal factors. By reframing, we try to focus on intra and interpersonal factors, organizational, community, public policy, the physical environment and culture, which more closely correspond to potential interventions in health promotion and disease prevention, and which represent to a greater or lesser degree specific disciplines. In 1988, we published a theme issue of the Journal of Health Education Quarterly on ecological approaches to health promotion that has been moderately influential in reframing the discussion of factors that influence health-related behaviors and where and how we should intervene. This is not to imply that we or I am taking credit for the current interest in ecological strategies, since a number of researchers have used Bronfenbrenner's or related ideas on systems, including Richard Winnett, Dan Stokols, Larry Green, and many others. However, much of the discussion about ecological approaches, particularly within health education, but extending to other areas as well, has approached the idea of levels of analysis like this in the PowerPoint. What the figure exemplifies is that many of us have treated levels of analysis as essentially independent factors affecting behaviors of interest, such as tobacco or condom use or other behavioral risk. That is, we have attempted to identify whether and how individual, interpersonal, organizational, and other factors are related to a behavior of interest. Moreover, we have sometimes treated the issue of selecting interventions as selecting one intervention from column A and one intervention from column B. By approaching levels of analysis as independent, we obviously ignore the levels of analysis as embedded systems, such as suggested by the figure. This figure indicates that each of the levels of analysis is part of a larger system in which individuals' knowledge, attitudes, skills, and behaviors affect and are affected by larger systems and subsystems, such as families and social networks, organizations, neighborhoods, and so on. Each of these system levels may also have different system properties that exist at each level. That is, the system properties emerge from particular dynamics and relationships that exist within each level of analysis. In addition, each level within an embedded system serves as the context or setting for each of the other levels. Individuals develop within interpersonal networks and families. Interpersonal networks and families develop within the context of organizations and settings that bring people into contact. An obvious example is the way in which architectural design in the built environment may affect patterns of relationships among adults within neighborhoods, or how assignment of grade school children to homerooms, classrooms, may affect friendship patterns that develop among children. For example, some studies have indicated that children up through the fifth grade tend to identify as best friends in their social networks the children with whom they associated with in grade school or in their neighborhood. Organizations create social networks and sustain them. By thinking in terms of levels of analysis and embedded systems, we may be led to the idea of using levels of analysis to understand how a social problem is created and sustained, or to create what has been referred to as a theory of the problem. We use the knowledge and frameworks provided by multiple disciplines to attempt to understand not only how each level of analysis affects a behavior of interest, but how each of the levels of analysis affects each other. In other words, the emphasis in ecological thinking is not on testing and building theory from a specific discipline, but rather the synthesis of perspectives from multiple disciplines to understand how a specific problem is socially created and maintained. Thus, ecological thinking is problem-focused, applies multiple disciplines, and attempts to understand the social production of health problems. More on this in a moment. The idea of embedded systems also takes us to thinking about where and how to intervene. If each level of analysis serves as a context for the other levels of analysis, we can consider interventions at one level with outcomes at another. Moreover, we can think about outcomes at multiple levels. If we use the example of tobacco, we can consider intervening at the system level by raising the tax on cigarettes, and our outcomes can be both reductions in tobacco consumption and the extent to which we have actually established a supportive environment for tobacco control. This next figure illustrates how the idea of embedded systems may be used to conceptualize a specific problem. This figure is taken from a recent article in the American Journal of Public Health by the NCI-funded Population Disparity Centers. As suggested in the figure, health disparities are affected by social conditions and policies, institutional and social context, social relationships and physical context, demographic characteristics and risk behaviors, biological responses, and genetic pathways. Moreover, each of these levels of analysis not only affects health disparities, but they affect each other, as we've been talking about. The goal, then, in looking at health disparities within this framework is to understand how each of these levels of analysis contributes to the problem of health disparities and how they interact to create the problem. We can also begin to consider intervening again at multiple levels in the disparities producing systems, and we can identify outcomes at each level that represent changes in the social environment that produce and sustain disparities. Thus, we can see how ecological approaches include some of the key system ideas, such as embedded systems, interconnectedness, a focus on context, and the idea of emergent properties. However, as noted earlier, the ecological approaches emphasize the contributions of multiple disciplines to understanding the social production of health problems, such as health disparities. When we think about applying multiple disciplines to understanding public health problems, such as the idea of team science, as we've spoken about earlier, or as noted by Rosenfield back in 1992, there's a useful distinction to be made between multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary, and transdisciplinary approaches. Multidisciplinary research refers to research in which individuals from multiple disciplines work on a common problem, but bring with them and apply the theories and methods from their individual disciplines. Interdisciplinary is usually used to refer to a higher level of coordination among researchers, such that they work collaboratively, often face-to-face, frequently in centers and institutes, on a common problem, but they still maintain a focus from their individual perspectives. Transdisciplinary research, as it's being used today, refers to an even stronger level of coordination among disciplines and implies researchers working in teams, addressing a common problem, and the emergence of a new language or way of understanding or talking about a specific problem. Transdisciplinary approaches may lead to a new discipline emerging as the new framework becomes more widely understood and adopted. I am suggesting that ecological systems thinking, then, and inter- and multidisciplinary research models mutually benefit each other by combining the idea of levels of analysis with the idea of team science. As we look at how multiple systems affect each other, such as the influence of organizational structure on the development of interpersonal network ties, or ecological and system thinking has the promise of providing a theoretical framework and language that may facilitate transdisciplinary research. Lest this seem far-fetched, we've already witnessed the development of research centers and institutes and centers of excellence that merge these and other important system ideas in the areas of global warming, complex gene-behavior interactions, reducing the societal burden from injuries, including motor vehicle injuries, and health and public health approaches to reducing the prevalence of tobacco use, obesity, changing diet, and increasing physical activity. If we begin to emphasize the importance of ecological and transdisciplinary approaches in how we address public health problems, we may begin to change the way we train new public health professionals. I have often thought that our schools of public health should have students from the multiple disciplines represented in public health working together in teams to address public health problems as part of their educational experience. Ideally, such training should occur throughout their 1 or 2 years of master's experience. I've often liked the idea of setting up teams that persist throughout the student's career. A final idea I put on the table today is the benefit of ecological approaches to the emphasis within systems thinking on the issue of boundaries. So bear with me just a moment. In systems thinking, each system and subsystem has boundaries that define what is included and what is excluded when we look at the system. For example, we could describe an organization such as a university as including faculty, staff, and employees, as well as the relationships that exist among them, and the resources they consume and products they produce. Our university system could include communication channels, a hierarchical structure, and rules, procedures, and culture. However, in our university example, if we exclude students, we may draw very different conclusions about the nature of the system and the relationships that exist within the system. One of the issues, then, that's critical when we look at systems and when we look at ecological thinking is the issue about where the boundaries are drawn, who makes what decisions about the boundary definitions. And since the boundary definitions affect what we pay attention to and ultimately whose interests are served, boundary definitions are critical. Thus, some of the important questions in systems thinking include, where are the boundaries drawn? Who makes the decision about defining the boundaries? Why are the boundaries drawn as they are? Boundary choices are inevitable, but they affect what we pay attention to, whose voices are heard, and ultimately whose interests are served. This leads us directly into an emphasis on participatory models within system thinking, such as CBPR. Just very quick closing note. Community-based participatory research is inherently about boundaries. It is about who gets to define the problem, who defines the approach, whose interests are being addressed. Is the purpose of the research to solve problems or to address the theoretical and other interests of investigators? As we think about ecological and systems approaches, then, we have to confront the issue of boundaries and how our definitions of systems and levels of analysis are influenced by the populations being studied, how the problem is defined, and whose voices are heard.
Next, I have the pleasure